Well, good morning to you. It's really nice to be here with you today. Joan and I, we are very grateful for all the prayers and the kind words, emails that you have sent to us during the past 11 months when Joan was a little bit, well, she was very ill. But she came here we are hoping today we will express a big thank you for everything you have said and you have prayed and you have done for us. God bless you all. The pastor had asked me to speak today, and the subject is God speaking? Well, as you know, that this is one question in the series of questions that was in the leaflet, Life Big Questions. And in the past, in the last couple of months, we have seen that there is God. And this God is a personal God. He's holy. And the question is today, is God speaking or he's there in heaven? Well, let me take you to, is the PowerPoint working now or? Okay, thank you. Yes. Let me take you to Rome. Next, please. Yes. Specifically, in the Sistine Chapel in Rome. Now, the year is 1511, and we are going to look at the ceiling to the fourth painting. And here we have this wonderful painting under the name of The Creation of Adam. Well, it's Michelangelo's masterpiece, and as you could see, it depicts Adam lying down on the ground, lifeless, where on the other hand you see God, who is very powerful, full of life, is stretching his arm towards him. The contrast is severe between the image of God, full of energy, and this Adam who's lifeless. God is taking the initiative and reaching out. The picture is telling that God is pointing his finger to transmit, to communicate with Adam, to give him life, to give him hope, to give him identity. So, is it the imagination of a 16th century brilliant painter to depict God is taking an initiative and communicating? Or this picture is based on something very real? Well, how would we know that? Well, the pastor has told us earlier on that God has sent us a letter. Well, this letter is called the Bible. If you turn the Bible to the first book, you will find something very interesting. Next, please. Yes. Is God speaking? You'll find that in the beginning, this is how the Bible starts. God created heaven and earth. So the Bible, it talks about God. Now in verse 3, you come to a very interesting image. And it says here that, and God said. So here, from the beginning, we have the description of God speaking. And God said, let there be light. Now, the importance of having light, obviously, it helps us to see clearly, but also it has a figurative speech as well, because light will give us understanding. You always look at the comic books and you find that when a person gets an idea, he got a light bulb explaining things to him. So light, God at the beginning said, let there be light. And if you are looking at Genesis chapter 1, you will find lots and lots of comments, statements started by, and God said, let there be light. Then when we come to verse 26, we find something very interesting. We find that God said that, let us make man in our own image. So God created mankind in his own image. And he asked them to, told them to work in the garden. Now there is something very interesting here. We are creative people, aren't we? We look at each one of us and we find that we communicate with one another. Well, BT has one of their slogans. It says, it's good to talk. and so it be. You know, and now it's very cheap. You can have free calls evening and weekends. So it encourages you to talk too much, really. But we also are created in God's image. So we exhibit, we have some of God's character. We have some of God's qualities. What are these? Well, we have the idea and to love, we hate, we think, we have the ability also to create things, though not from nothing, but from materials in front of us, and we communicate with one another. So, if we communicate with one another, if we talk with one another, if we are a communicable people, and we are created in God's image, therefore, He must be a speaking God too. Now, that's very, very interesting. But do we have any evidence? Do we have evidence of God speaking in the Bible? Well, that's very interesting. Let's have a look and see. Has God spoken in the past? I like this PowerPoint because it shows fire, all of these names. I was very chuffed to be able to learn from the pastor how he did his. And be able to produce one myself. And here we have all the characters in the Bible that God has spoken to. God has spoken to Isaiah the prophet. God has spoken to Joshua, who was following Moses. God has spoken to Jeremiah, to Daniel, to Solomon. And God is speaking to millions of Christians today. I would say, okay, all right. Well, He did this in the past. But how does God really speak to us today? And how does God communicate with us today? Well, today I would like to take you to my story. And I chose this story, well, for a couple of reasons. One, it illustrates how God speaks to us today. But second, it's because the story is taking from an area where I love most, is the Arab world. Well, Aram in the Bible is the modern Syria. So here we are. We have an image of the Arab world. So how does God speak to us? Well, the first thing God speaks is through circumstances. Well, if you open your Bible, I would like to focus on that story so that we are following what the Bible is saying here. Now, the book of Second King, or the book of Kings, is a historical book. We see God's wonderful deed in the life of His people. In the second book of Kings, we see the wonderful activities of the prophet Elisha. We find that in chapter 2, Elisha is taking double portion of the prophet Elijah before he was captured in the chariot of fire. In chapter 3 and 4, we see Elisha's miracle inside Israel. But chapter 5 takes us from Israel and transports us into Syria. And here we have the main character, Naaman. Now, what do we know about Naaman? Well, he is a brilliant fighter. He's a mighty man. He's a very talented man. He's a valiant soldier and highly regarded. And not only this, but through him, the Bible tells us that God has granted victory to Aram. Well, if I wanted to put it in Oscar Wilde's vocabulary, he would say an ideal husband. He is the perfect man. He has everything. But the Bible says that he had leprosy. You see, many times we look at the outside. Everything is so wonderful outside. The person of Naaman was great. Everything seems fine with him. Everything seems to be coveted. But inside, there was illness. Inside, there was leprosy. Inside, there was disgust and sin. You may be like Naaman at the beginning, try to hide a little bit this symptoms, this severe illness. But soon, after a little while, his wife noticed. And a little while later, the little girl, the servant, noticed. Naaman was in need of help. He was in need to someone to heal him. And here is the first thing. God drew our attention to him through circumstances, through difficulties. C.S. Lewis is a Christian writer and philosopher. Wrote this. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks to us in our conscience, but shout in our pains. It is his megaphone to arouse a deaf world. God is speaking, and he is trying to get your attention. God will draw you to himself by speaking through your circumstances. And the circumstances is the important key that God is using. Well, we sang earlier on Amazing Grace. And the writer of that was John Newton, is a well-known Christian writer. But how did he become a Christian? Well, just to give you an outline briefly, he was a slave trader. In his early years, his mother used to tell him about the Lord. But when he grew up in his teenage, he wanted to be like his dad and go in the sea. And then as in a young age, he managed to get this boat and he was transporting slaves from Africa. And then one night, he encountered a very severe storm. And he was frightened. He thought, that's the end. And it is there, in this circumstance, that God spoke to him. He broke down and he said, Lord, if you save me, I'll be yours. And since then, he started to realize how God is gracious, how God is loving, how God has amazing grace for him. I have another friend, an Indian man, by the name of Bhaskar. Bhaskar was from a Brahmin caste, that is the high caste in the Indian society. Bhaskar wanted to discover the meaning of life in a different circumstances. After his uncle died, according to the traditions, he saw a little calf coming into the house. And that is the Indian way of incarnation. And he was horrified. He said, how could my uncle, who had lived all his life in a good way, that come back to life as a calf? So he was seeking to find an answer. Yet, at the last day, he decided that if God does not speak to me today, I'm going to take my life. He went for a walk before he ate his poisonous food that he had prepared. And there, he saw this sign, blood is needed. Bhaskar was interested to know, what is that all about? And there, he encountered Christ because he understood something for the first time, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 years down the line, Bhaskar is speaking of God's grace. Well, I want to take you even further into the Arab world. One of my visits was to Mauritania. And I met this young man from a very religious family. And he was searching for what is the true meaning of life. He was asking. In his village, he saw something very strange that did not correspond with the system of belief that his village family has. So he came and asked me, he said, just because I am disaffected with Islam, it does not mean that I will become a Christian. You have to talk to me. God used different circumstances. In your pleasure, in your success, God is speaking to you. God is saying to you, I am the one who's blessing you. Will you acknowledge me? Will you speak with me? Will you have a relationship with me? Well, God speaks through circumstances. Whatever your circumstances today, God is speaking to you. He's drawing your attention. The very fact that you are here today, it is God's causing the circumstances so that you can come and listen to him. Maybe you are feeling a little bit away from him. Well, he's calling you. It's never too late. And God used these circumstances that you are encountering to speak to you. Secondly is, God speaks through his children. How did Naaman the Syrian know about the prophet Elisha? and his ability to heal him. It was because of this little girl who came. The Bible doesn't tell us her name, but the Bible recorded what she said and what she done. Well, how did this happen? Well, a band from Aram, from Syria, went and fought the southern neighbor of Israel and captured a few Jews. And among them was this little girl. They brought her to become a slave girl in the house of Naaman. Now, what kind of circumstances are that? That's a very hard circumstances. She could have been very rebellious. She could have been angry. She could have been seeking revenge. She could have said that about her master. He deserved this illness. I wish he would die. He's the one who inflicted pain on my people. He's the one who took me out of my my comfort zone from my mom and dad. But she did not say that. She knew that behind all circumstances, there is a sovereign God. And she didn't doubt his goodness or his sovereignty. Now let me ask this question. Do you see God in your circumstances? Do you see God in the providence, even sometimes if it was hard providence? Away from home, from family, different habits, different food, different culture, different God even. But she was available that God would speak with her, that God would use her. And because of her, the whole household of Naaman heard about the God of Israel. Let me suggest this. Maybe the Lord has put you in a specific place that you would be the instrument to speak to others about God's will and plan for them. You see, the Apostle Paul was very clear about this. He said that always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. Use the circumstances to talk about the Lord. Use the circumstances to speak about His goodness. And perhaps draw other people's attention to something that they haven't had. Well, yesterday I was visiting. Well, I went to the barber to have my hair cut, and I was sitting there, a nice Cypriot man, and we had a chat. We are both Middle Eastern, and he knew that I'm from Egypt. So, and then he started telling me how good he is in using the scissors and the clippers, and I was sitting quiet and not disturbing him. And he said, "You know, I help lots of charities." I said, "Well, great." He said, "Well, we have to do some good works. And these good works may be counted at the end of the day." I said, "Well, that's good." And he said, "Well, we believe that good works equal going to heaven. Bad works equal going to somewhere else." And I said to him, "Well, that's fine. But what is the difference between your religion and any other religion?" Well, the thing is, what he had is an outside understanding. He does not have a relationship with God. He does not have understood what does it mean to become a Christian. He does not understand that God is a personal God. I had the opportunity to share a little bit with him. Now, I did not initiate these circumstances because, you see, sometimes we are pushing the Christian. We are pushing to give the Christian message to people who are not believers. But this was not the case here. The girl used that natural circumstances and opportunities that the Lord has given her. You see, we have a wonderful message. God and man could be reconciled. We have a wonderful message to say that we can live in peace. We have a wonderful message to say that we have eternal life. We have a wonderful message to say that even in the hard and the difficult situations that we are in, we are not alone. We have a God. The world is hurting around us. The world is looking for someone to help. And here we have this wonderful God who is willing to help us. But the thing is, how could we introduce Him to others? How could we speak with other people about God's love? how to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. This little bear could have come and said to Naaman directly, she said, I know you are a leper, and I know that you have you are in need of someone to help you. I know how to do that. And don't we know, sometimes do this? You know, we have all the answers. Even the question that nobody asks, we have the answers for it. This little girl did not do this. She just said, if only. She went in the proper channels, by the way. She went to her mistress first. If only my master would go and visit the prophet in Israel. Not only she was very good witness to the family of Naaman, but also she was a hard-working girl. How did I get this from the passage? You see, she was very faithful in her labor. Otherwise, she would not have gained a hearing from her mistress. If we are not living a Christian life, people would look and say, well, no, I don't want to listen to you. But people listen to you because you have something different. People listen to you because you have a high ethics. People listen to you because you are a Christian. Now, before I went to the mission field, I was working with Legal and General. And every week, Monday, we will ask colleagues in my department, so what did you do? And often I hear this, I was wasted in the weekend. And I was a little bit worried when they talked to me, what did you do a weekend? Well, I said, well, I went to church. You are so young to be in church. Well, I said, I go to church on Sunday. So every Sunday you go to church? Yes. So what did you do in the evening? Did you go to the pub? No, I went to church in the evening too. And suddenly, you know, they look at me as a guru. He's this guy who's going to church morning and evening. Well, you know what? I noticed a few weeks later, the swearing in the department was reduced. Because people thought, without saying anything, that by using the word of the name of the Lord in vain, that will hurt me. And they didn't want to do that. So, Maggie is here. You should not say anything. Okay, well, that is an opening. Well, my time was short there to be able to carry on with the conversation with them. But it was an opening to speak with them about God. Well, God speak through his children. God also speak through his word. When we look at the story, the king of Israel did not understand the reason why Naaman arrived to him. He thought that it's a military trick. And the prophet Elisha came to rescue the situation. He sent a message to say, send a man to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. Having a prophet in Israel, this is a symbol of God's presence with his people. And because the Bible was not written in those days, the prophet of God, he's the one who's bringing the word of God. So here God speaks through his word. In chapter 1, just to give you an example, prophet Elisha was sent by God to the king Ahaziah to tell him that this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messenger to consult Baal-zebub, that is the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. And so he died. This is what a message. Where do you get God's word from? From the Bible. God has spoken to us in the past in many things. And now he has given us the word of God for us to consult. You see, the word of God in the Bible has everything you need. During the time when John was ill, I did not have many helpers. The only thing I could do is to draw near to God by looking at my Bible. I was not fishing for promises. I was just every day, every morning, every evening, I'm reading my Bible and praying, asking him to speak with me. It was amazing, the treasures that we have in the Word of God to encourage us, to instruct us, to build us up, to lift our spirit, to help us to sleep at night, to help us to put our trust in Him. God speak to us through His words. Now, Naaman was sent to meet with the prophet Elisha. There are chariots, there were soldiers, there were horses. As a military leader, the second in command in the whole of the kingdom of Aram, he was expecting a VIP reception, but to his shocking news, he arrived, there is nothing there. No landmark, no red carpet, no paved road, no nothing. Just a messenger coming to him and say, go, wash yourself 7 times in the river Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Now you can imagine, this man is boiling with anger. I was expecting that he will come to meet me. That's the least thing he could do. And then he will call upon his God, and wave his hand of the spot, and I will be healed. See, that's the wrong expectation, isn't it? Sometimes we come and ask God for things, but we are expecting Him to do it our own ways. This is not the way. In English, you have a saying that says that beggars cannot be choosers, right? Well, it's the same thing. When we come to God, we come to ask Him for His own way, how to solve out this situation. How many times did we come and say, Lord, I want you to open a door for work for me, but I want this job. Young people, you may say that, well, Lord, I love this girl. She is the right girl for me. And perhaps you could go and say to her, well, the Lord has spoken to me and said that you are my wife to be. Well, this is not the same. God has spoken, and when He speaks, we have to listen to what He may direct us to. Maybe you are praying for your children, about their education, about their lives. And instead of asking God that they may know Him as a personal Savior, you are asking for your dreams to be fulfilled in your children's. God's way are more and much greater than our ways. The request was very simple. The request that was given to Naaman the Syrian was very simple. Go and wash yourself in the river Jordan 7 times. But why Jordan? We have Abana and Pharpar. We have the golden rivers. These rivers are much, much nicer, cleaner, deeper, purer, and fresher than this little river Jordan you have. But we have in Egypt, we have the river Nile. And if you wanted to cross the river Nile in some part, it's about 2 or 3 miles wide. When I came to Wales, people started to tell me about the River Taff. So we went to see the River Taff, and we passed, and I said, where is the River Taff? Oh, we just passed it. I couldn't believe it. You call this a river? You must come and see a River Nile. That's something different. Well, Naaman was thinking down these lines. Well, I have the great remedy. I know that we have these great rivers, but you see, Naaman did not understand. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by the Spirit, says the Lord. There is no place to be proud here. As one of the wise men said, proud men are their own worst enemy. But the simple command that God has given to Naaman through the prophet was, wash and you'll be cleansed. It's the same command that God is giving to us today. Repent and you will be forgiven. Believe and you will be saved. Call upon me and I will respond to you. How does God speak to us? God speaks to us through His word. So we have seen that God speaks to us through circumstances. God speaks to us through His people, friends, Christian as well. God speaks to us through His word. And then fourthly, God speaks to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, following the story, we find that the servant of Naaman came and said, sir, they reasoned with him. If this prophet had asked you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? What are you going to lose? He's just asking you just to go and dip yourself in the river for 7 times. And I suppose that they went with him when he agreed, and there was kind of momentous building up. Now, how many did he go for? Oh, seven. He has to go seven times. Now let's count. One and two. And people were between pessimistic and say, well, five to go. And people were saying, well, nothing happened yet. Well, we should see a gradual healing. You know, all of these are expectation. And then suddenly, after the seventh time, he came and he was completely healed. And his body was of that of a young boy. It was a miracle. Naaman has changed, not only from the outside, but also from the inside. When we look at verse 15, and he confessed to say that there is no other God on earth apart from the God in Israel. That he will never sacrifice any other sacrifice to any other gods. And notes also that three times he mentioned the word, your servant. Now, it's a sign of submission. It's a sign of humility. Respect to the God of Elisha and the God who healed him. But he wanted to give something in return. He wanted to pay for this great healing he has. And did not understand that there is nothing that you can do. It's a divine work. And what you have to do is just to go and obey what is being said. This is what Elisha said, I cannot take anything from you. It's freely given to you. You see, this idea of the washing is picked up again in the New Testament. In the book of the letter to Titus, Paul's letters to Titus. In chapter 3, Paul writes to say that, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. The story of Naaman is the story of each one of us. The name Naaman in Arabic means the pleasant one. It's the same name actually from the female name also, Naomi, both the same root. How could you say Naaman, the man who is leper, is the pleasant one? He's not pleasant. Well, he was like this before the illness, before the sickness, and so did we. When God created mankind, as we have seen in chapter 1 in Genesis, he created him in a beautiful form. It's the only creation that God said after the end, and it was very good. But after Adam has fallen down, after he broke God's commandment, sin crept in and deformed his relationship with God, and in some ways deformed himself as well, and we too. We became sick with sickness, with sin. There is no remedy to the sickness of sin apart from what God has ordained in himself. Believe and you will be saved. God has given us the remedy. God has spoken to us this time through his Son. How did he do that? Well, God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come to our earth. He fulfilled all God's commandments. He fulfilled everything that God required. And he was our representative. Not only this, but he went to the cross. Why did he go to the cross if he has done everything right? Well, he went to the cross because of you and because of me, to take our place. And on the cross there, he was hanged there for this time until he will receive the full punishment of God's wrath for sin. The wages of sin is death. This is what the Bible tells us. And Jesus went willingly to die on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus took away everything that opposite to himself from us and radiated to us everything good about himself. So on the cross, Jesus took our sins, our wrong deeds, our bad thinking, our malicious desires, and all of these, and crucified it on the cross. Not only that, but Jesus radiate us. It's like a magnet, you see. The magnet will draw to itself everything opposite to it. So he took from us everything that is bad and took it upon himself and gave us righteousness, gave us the beauty that he has, the obedience he has. He fulfilled the law for us. This is why we sing and say that he robed us with a robe of righteousness. This is what the Lord Jesus has done. So in a sense, the River Jordan was to Naaman is like the Lord Jesus Christ to us. The River Jordan took the leprosy of Naaman and his spots and gave him a new body. So that is exactly the same. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ become a new person, new creation before God. The Bible very clearly states this. If anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's a wonderful message. God speaks to us through his Son. And finally, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Now, the life of Naaman has changed completely. He was not only healed physically, but morally as well, spiritually. He became a worshiper of the Almighty God. He will never give any sacrifices or worship anywhere else. He asked to be forgiven if just in the act of being kind to his master, that he will go to the pagan temple. You see, the Holy Spirit work in our lives as we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ is very vital. It's not only after we believe, actually, with nobody. The Bible tells us nobody can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit to come to convince you, speak to your mind, and speak to your heart that what you are experiencing, what you are feeling, is the right thing. He will give you peace in life. He will help you to choose what is right and refuse what is wrong. He will speak to your mind with impressions. And usually these impressions comes from God's Word. He is reminding you with this is what Jesus said to his disciples. When the Holy Spirit come, he will remind you of everything. How does the Holy Spirit speak to us? Well, let me give you my experience of it. Some time ago when I was in Egypt, I needed to have some military paper to be replaced. So I had to travel 5.5 hours to go to the central place of the army to ask for these papers. And because of my name, they noticed that I'm a Christian. So I had some difficulties. The first time they said, well, the letter must be stamped. So I went, traveled back 5.5 hours to my hometown to get the stamp. I went back again and they said, oh, sorry, the stamp is not clear. You have to go back again and get a clearer stamp. I went backward and forward 4 times. And every time I am encountering with a difficulty. The 5th time when I was going back home, as I sat on the bus traveling, and I just could not cope anymore. And as I was just about to break down, I looked through the window and it was a sunset. The sun was setting on the Nile with beautiful, it was beautiful evening with lovely palm trees around. And the only word that came to my mind is the word of Isaiah the prophet, blessed be my people of Egypt. And I could not take my mind from, you know, of this notion. How could this? I am in a misery here. I'm struggling. And you are telling me, blessed be of my people, Egypt. Well, I picked up my Bible and I started to read at the time. And I believe this was the Holy Spirit speaking with me. Because he drew my attention to the reality that people need to know Christ. People need to know God. And when they are out of Christ, they can act maliciously, they can act badly, they can act with vindictiveness. And as he drew my attention to this, this actually was the first call I had to go to preach the good news of Jesus Christ to people of the Arab world. God speaks to us in many, many ways. God speaks to us through the nature. God speaks to us through the quiet voice that you hear in your heart as you meditate and as you think. I just wanted to recap again about the way that God speaks to us. Well, we have here, God speaks to us through circumstances. Every circumstance. If you just ask God, Lord, what is the reason behind that? There must be a reason. And God knows. And in due course, God will explain it to you. God speaks to us through His people. People witness to us. People help us in our Christian walk. God speaks to us through His Word. And this is primarily the case, that God speaks to us through His Word. As you pick up your Bible, as you read it day and night, you will find God is instructing you. God speaks to us ultimately through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As you read the life, the biography of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will learn how to live to be Christ-like. And then God speaks to us through His Spirit. And that's important because the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to believe. He will give you the strength to follow the Lord Jesus. He will give you the strength to carry on during life difficulties. And God's promise to us is, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. The Lord God is speaking with us. So He's not only a personal God, He's not only a holy God, but He's a communicatable God who's communicating with His people, and He would like to lead us. He would like to guide us. He would like to take us safely home if you just put your faith on Him. Now let's pray. Father God, we thank You that You speak to us in many ways. And Lord God, You know what's going on in our lives, each one individually. For some are struggling with thoughts, identity perhaps, knowing is that what they are hearing is right or it's another talk. Lord God, You are the only one by Your Holy Spirit can convince people. Heavenly Father, there are some of us perhaps are struggling through difficult circumstances. Hard providence, illness, financial crisis, or relationship problems. Father God, we pray and ask You to come and speak to Your people with peace. We ask You to come, Lord God, and put the stamp of approval on the solutions for the way forward. We thank You that You have never left us alone, orphaned, but You have promised to give us Your Holy Spirit to speak to us. We thank You for the Word of God, the Bible that is available to us. We thank You that in some places people are struggling because they don't have the Word of God. We thank You that we have it here. We have it in many versions that can suit our understanding. Lord God, we thank You for Your ultimate love to us, for the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross to give us a new identity, a new hope, and new communications with You. We pray, Lord God, that You'll use these words to speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, Amen.